How did the Boobie Nash show change when it went from one day part to another? Was the afternoon Boobie Nash show much different than the nighttime show, or other than the usual service elements, traffic reports, and running newscasts and things that you might not run at night?
Well, from what I can tell, listening to air checks, yeah, I did. I slowed down a little bit, probably more informational than I was at night. I did voices at night, which I can't do now anymore, but I used to do voices, characters, and we would talk more at night than I was allowed to do in the afternoon. I think the big change in me was when I went to CSC, because they were the winner, and I had to get over there. I did midday, which I had never done before, and that was a more adult approach. I'm not saying it was an adult approach. I'm saying it was more of an adult approach, what they wanted out of me, with just a little bit of humor. So I changed there. And listening to different air checks, you can tell it's me, but the attitude on the air was different. And you grow up a little bit.
Behind the scenes with the WTMA disc jockeys, we understand Boobie Nash had a reputation for being a partier in the 60s and 70s.
I was. I have to admit it. You know, radio was fun when you were on it, and when you got off, you had more fun. We were all partiers. I wasn't into dope or anything like that, and surely some of them were. I just never caught them, you know, but I heard, you know, that they were. I was a boozer, and we went out every night. Every night. Then I got married, and I went out every night some more. But it's good, clean party fun. And there was a lot of rumors that we were wild and outrageous. Not that I remember. Of course, I was passed out most of the time.
You don't remember too much, huh?
No, I don't remember too much about it.
So you've done a morning show with a hangover, huh?
Oh, my. I don't know. I couldn't count the times that I dragged myself in there. And no one would know. No one would know. I was surprised. Once I got on the air, I just felt good. But I'll tell you what, 5 minutes before going on the air, I thought I'd be dying. Especially the nighttime show, Merchant Seaman's Club was very popular. I'd get off at 1, and I would stay at the Merchant Seaman's Club until they closed. The problem with that is they never closed. They were open 24 hours. I didn't know that. So you know, I'd be going to bed maybe about 8 o'clock in the morning and have to be in at 3, you know, to do production and that. And, oh, my. I was hurting. I don't know how I lived through those days, but we all did it. We all did it.
Through the late 60s and throughout the 70s, was radio always fun to you, or did it just kind of become a job, just something you had to do?
Late 70s and 80s, I didn't care for the music that much. It wasn't as much fun. Radio had become a chore. I never thought it would. That's because it had changed. It was evolving. FM was taking over. I wanted to stay with AM. And people on FM didn't want me because the people on FM, they all sounded the same as far as I, you know, they all did that soft, cool approach. You know, I'm cool. And we play album tracks, and I wasn't into the music, remember? And FM was all about music and blending it and all that. And I thought, you know, that's not for me. So I stayed with AM, and of course, AM was dying at the time. It's not now. It's been revitalized, but it was dying at the time, and I wasn't happy. And I knew my days were numbered, and by that time I had already started moving into ministry, which is where I'm at now, and the two didn't blend good at that time. Radio wasn't as funny. The things that were funny to me before weren't as funny. It wasn't that I was becoming a prude or anything. I call it growing up, you know. All of a sudden, kid stuff has to go. Life has its serious moments. I'm basically back to now. Life doesn't have any serious moments. There's always a way out of any serious moment, and humor does it for me.
When did that life change happen spiritually?
It happened in 1979. You want that story?
Yeah, I want to hear it.
I mean, it's pretty weird. Jerry Smith, who was a disc jockey at TMA and became one of the engineers, Jerry told me that I needed to get born again. He had become a religious fanatic, and I was Catholic. And I told him, I said, I'm Catholic. I don't have to be born again. We already got it. You need to get what I got, you know. And we laughed. I wasn't going to church for that. But out of that, I started going back to church, and I started seeking. I didn't know that's what I was doing, but I knew I was missing something, and I knew there had to be more to God than just going to church. Because church never did anything for me. I mean, it didn't change my life. And so I was seeking, and I was invited to a luncheon. It was the Full Gospel Businessmen's Luncheon. I had seen them on TV. On Saturday morning, I would watch this, what's called the Good News Program, and people would come on and say what God did for them. And I'd sit there at 9 o'clock Saturday morning with a can of beer in my hand, drinking, and I would listen to these stories, and I would begin to cry and think, gee, what a great story that is. You know, the guy's life changed. And I didn't know that could happen to me. You know, I wanted it to happen to me, but I just didn't catch on to the message on how that happened. So anyways, I got invited to a luncheon with them, and here were all these guys hugging one another and just great love. And I thought, my goodness, that's a different world that I'm, you know, I lived in a world of dog eat dog. You just didn't do stuff like that. And then the following night, Jerry Smith invited me to a prayer meeting. I don't know how I got to go, because that was the last thing on my mind, is to go to what I would consider probably a Protestant prayer meeting. So I told my wife, who was used to me going out every night to the bars, especially the Holiday Inn round. Yeah, I used to go up there. In fact, we did shows up there. You know, here's a wife who knows that I go out every night and get teetotaled. And I say to her one day, well, honey, I'm going out tonight. I'm going to a prayer meeting. You should have seen the look on her face. She said, you're going where? I said, well, Jerry Smith is taking me to a prayer meeting. She said, okay. So I go at 7 o'clock to this prayer meeting, and it was there with these weird people standing in a circle praying. When one finished, the next person would pray, and I noticed, wait a minute, I'm standing in this circle. Sooner or later, it's going to come to me. And I got beads of sweat on me. I mean, I'm not used to praying in public. What am I going to say? They're praying silly prayers. They're praying, thank you for the red light. Thank you that we didn't run out of gas. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. You know, and I was Catholic, and I knew the Our Father, the Hail Mary, and the Glory Be, and that was it. You know, what am I going to say? And it was there that God spoke to me. I mean, and not through a person. God just interrupted my life and said, if you don't do it now, you'll never do it. And I instantly knew exactly what he was saying. So I just turned my life over to him. And when I left there, I thought I had been there for an hour and a half. I thought it was around 9:30, 10 o'clock. And actually, it was 1:30 in the morning.
Wow.
I mean, God just took me up into, I don't know where I was, you know, but I tell you what, I felt so different when I left that place. And of course, my wife is waiting at home. She figured, since it was 1:30 in the morning, that I had dumped Jerry Smith someplace and got to my bar. I walked in at 2 o'clock. She said, I glowed. She said I was an entirely different person. And that was in 79, and I've been running different ever since. I stayed with radio. I did a little for Bill Dudley, who owned WNCG. He turned it to a Christian radio station, so I worked there for a short time. But then I eventually went back to CSC and finished up my career in 85 or 86. I left, started a church in 84. We pioneered a church in 84, and I worked radio and did the church, and I left pastoring 2 years ago.
I want to ask you about some of the people that worked at WTMA at the same time. I'll just throw out some names and just give me some feedback.
Okay.
Terry Allen.
Terry Allen, the local boy who done did good. Terry Allen was a unique person. He still is. This guy wanted to work weekends. We call him our weekend warrior. He was an entrepreneur as far as he started businesses. He had if I remember right, he had a submarine sandwich shop. He did record hops. He started the mobile business. He was instrumental in starting all these little businesses. He hired kids to go out and play records at weddings and that. He was the big gun and the first gun that I know of that did that sort of thing. And he always had his hand in radio. He was a fun person to be around. But he was the local guy who did good. There was one other like him, and that was a fellow by the name of Jim Diamond, or Bob Kite was his real name. There was two of them that they did part-time work, and they were happy with it.
Anything more you can say about Mr. Diamond while we're on the subject?
While we're talking about Jim Diamond? Yeah, he was a fun guy. He had a good sense of humor. He worked weekends, and he worked full-time. I think he was trying to find himself, but he loved radio. He had the radio bug, and he was a likable fella. Once again, the guys at TMA, we didn't have too many ego people, you know, that had big egos. We just did it for fun. And Jim Diamond, you could tell he was doing it for fun.
What do you remember about Robert Wayne Anderson, one of the nighttime DJs?
Robert Wayne Anderson was not like the rest of us. He was a little different. He was, I believe he was our first long-haired hippie creep, what we would consider long-haired hippie creep. He was a very intelligent person. which threw us because not that disc jockeys are dumb. Now you need to know a lot more to be on radio. You have to be aware of. But in those days, once again, it was just all about fun. Robert Wayne Anderson was very serious about life, political issues, and that. And that sort of came out in his radio broadcasting. He was just different from us. A nice guy, but we considered him a little on the edge of weird.
Ted Bell.
Ted Bell. Teddy Bear would be a good description of him. Just a nice guy. He came out of the Orangeburg, South Carolina area. I think he worked broadcasting there. Had a nice, pleasant voice. Was an announcer type and was a family man. He was a good guy.
Jay Bond.
You know, I didn't get to know Jay as much as I wanted to. He came out of the Columbia area. And he was a production type guy. So when he went on the radio, he was more time and temperature and produced his show. It was a very clean show. You know, it was mainly music and he would blend it all together. But he was a production type guy.
Brother Dave.
Brother Dave Derrick. Now, he was a hippie creep. Dave was into partying more than I was. I think if... you told him that the grass growing out in front of his house would make him high, he'd eat it all. He was a party guy, and he was a party guy on the radio. Everything was a party to him. Life was just fun. He was different from the rest of us, too. He was more of the new breed coming in. He was more of a hippie than we were.
John Burwell.
Well, you know, his father owned a radio station in Rock Hill, and John was Mr. Nice Guy. Now, I was just told stories of what he did outside radio. We would fellowship a lot outside radio, and he would have an occasional beer. But I understand he was a lot wilder when I wasn't around. But we would call him Mr. Nice Guy. He was into production also. He liked to produce his radio show. Everything had to be perfect. You know, on my show, you couldn't tell when I made a mistake because it all sounded like a mistake. With his show, you would never hear a mistake. I mean, he was articulate in his speaking. His record started right on time. He was just Mr. Perfection, but a real nice guy, easy to get along with.
Ron Childers.
Ron Childers. Never trusted the guy. No, he was just sort of the guy that he was friends with management, and I wasn't friends with management at that time, and he was friends. So you had to watch what you said around Ron Childers. Nice guy. We got along well, but I just watched what I said in front of him. He would be more of the I want to get ahead in this business type person. Wasn't a bad guy, but, you know, I didn't really get that close to him.
Al Gilford.
Al was fun. He worked the all-night show, so I didn't, you know, we didn't party much. He had the all-night show, and everybody liked Al Gilford. He didn't play any politics. He was out in the open. I don't know if this is a good term nowadays, but it was in those days. He was just a sweet kid, just a real sweet kid. You know, what made him unique is he was so big, and yet he was just like a little kid, you know, and he was new to the business when he came to us.
Bob Green.
Bob Green, you just really didn't get to know him too well. He was a personality that had humor, but it was a different kind of humor. It wasn't sarcastic. It was just different. I would say his problem with his humor was his timing wasn't good. He always looked sad. And, you know, he wasn't with us that long. He was known as Greeny Bob. For some reason, we call him Greeny Bob. No, I think he called himself Greeny Bob. And we said, what's that all about? He got married while he was at TMA, one of the young ones to get married. And he died shortly after he left us. It was sad. He was ill.
Eddie King.
My goodness. Eddie was great on radio. Eddie had some personal problems. He was a partier, but he was a more serious partier. He had a drinking problem when he was with us. See, with me, it wasn't a drinking problem. There was no problem at all. I could drink pretty good, but drinking hindered his career. You know, my wife said this about in the days that I drank that, I did drink a lot, but I always went to work. And I always brought home a paycheck. Eddie had a problem. He couldn't always show up for work. But a nice guy would have made a great disc jockey. I don't know what happened to him. Do you know what happened to him?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Who's Dave Lloyd?
Dave Lloyd was married, had twin sons, was the morning man at TMA in the mid-60s. We were still at the Dock Street Theater. He was a great talent, had a very coarse sense of humor, I'd put it. It was a wise guy type of sense of humor. It was a British type sense of humor whereby you had to think about what he said. He was very clever, could do voices. He came up with a voice and called it Chesney Beamish. And Chesney Beamish owned a grit farm, which I thought was very clever. There was grit trees, and Chesney would pick the grits off the tree. I mean, this guy had a great sense of humor, and I liked his humor. I liked his show. I didn't like him because he ended up being program director, and one of the first things he wanted to do was fire me. I don't know why. We had a personality conflict, but we did not get along. In fact, we were talking and laughing with one another. They were having a meeting downstairs. Management was having a meeting on whether they were going to keep Dave Lloyd as program director. And we were upstairs, and I was talking with Dave Lloyd, and it was the weirdest conversation I ever had. I said, well, Dave, I hope you don't get it. And he said to me, he said, well, you know, Boob, if I do maintain the program directorship, the first thing I'm going to do is fire you. This was a serious conversation. And I said, I know. That's why I hope you don't get it. And we were sort of having a friendly conversation about our future. He said, of course, if I don't get it, I'm going to quit. Well, he didn't get it, and he did quit.
Why do you think he was going to fire you?
I don't know. I can't remember the conflict that we had. Now, he ended up going to Atlanta, and he was a good success there. And, you know, once in a while on the program Frasier, it says one of the directors or producers or writers is Dave Lloyd. And I often wondered if that was Dave Lloyd. There's also a Christopher Lloyd that would produce or write for that Frasier program, which is one of my favorites, by the way.